How to Hate Correctly. That's a strange title. And it occurred that recently I heard someone say, you know, I hate that SOB. And I don't even know who they were talking about. And it doesn't matter. So I took a moment and I thought that this isn't the right way to hate. As followers of Messiah Yeshua, we don't show hate towards somebody by words or deed. And it doesn't even matter if that person they're talking about is a believer or not. That shouldn't matter. There is a correct way to hate, and a correct way to hate according to Scripture, believe it or not. And I'm sure that that was not it. So this week I want to let you know what's the right way, what's the correct way to hate. And I hope that you'll take something away from it, with it, on it, whatever. Let's start off with a definition. Let's make sure we're all on the same page of what hate is. The Oxford Language Dictionary says that as a noun, hate is intense or passionate dislike. And as a verb, it of course is the feeling of the intense or passionate dislike towards somebody. There is another way to hate, of course. You know, people use the word hate. Hey, I hate to bother you. And that's not the hate we're talking about today. That one's okay, but that's not the one we're talking about today. Now, Merriam-Webster's dictionary, their definition goes even further by saying that it's an intense hostility and aversion, usually deriving from fear, anger, or sense of injury. That's an extreme dislike or disgust. In the world today, there is hatred that comes from someone who you meet, and for some reason dislike them almost immediately. And sometimes that hate for that one person affects the way you feel about a bunch of people, a class of people. Now, when it's towards Jewish people, well, first of all, that hatred that goes to a bunch of people, that's called bigotry. And when we define it for Jewish people, that's anti-Semitism. They feel either fear or anger or even injured by the Jewish people. And there are many that because of the way that one interaction went with one person, if it goes poorly, they expand that hate to all the people associated with that one, not just whether they're Jewish or not. Of course, it happens the other way around as well, that you hate that one person because of the way you feel about all the people of that type. For instance, you feel hate towards an Arab man that you meet because you feel bigotry towards all Muslims. And of course, not all Arabs are Muslims. And we have an example of this in Scripture, actually. We see it in the book of Esther in chapter 3. I don't even have my remote. You'll do that for me. We see in chapter 3 why Haman hated the Jewish people. So Esther 3:5, starting there, says, when Haman saw that Mordecai was not bowing down or paying him honor, Haman was filled with rage. But it was repugnant in his eyes to lay hand on Mordecai alone, for they had told him the identity of Mordecai's people. So Haman sought to destroy all the Jews, the people of Mordecai, who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Here we see that there was one person who was Jewish, Mordecai, and Haman took his feelings out from that one person expanded it into a hatred and a want to destroy a whole peoples, the Jewish people. Was it a rational hate? No, it was not. And it eventually led to his downfall. Another example of hatred in Scripture is seen in the relationship of Joseph's brothers and Joseph himself. We know that his father Israel had many children, but this is what we read in Genesis 37. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his other sons, because he was the son of his old age. So he had made him a long-sleeved tunic. When his brothers saw what his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him in shalom. They hated Joseph based on the feeling that they were slighted by their father. They saw their father had a favorite son that caused an anger and hatred towards Joseph. There are some who will say that they can relate to this, that there was someone who was getting something that they didn't deserve, didn't have to work for. And this could be in the workplace, it could be at home, could be anywhere in any situation. They feel that it was unfair that they got favored treatment, so their flesh rose up and hated the person. Is there anything wrong in the sound booth? No? Okay. When we read the story, it appears that what they did by selling Joseph as a slave didn't really affect them much. But later on, we see that the brothers lived with guilt their whole life. And their father Israel wasn't the same after his death until they were reunited years later. Their hate towards Joseph caused within them regret over what they did in the fit of rage that they felt at the time. Hate will always come back on the person in some way. Sometimes it's a feeling of guilt, or perhaps it's even consequences of a jail time or a fine. This hate originates from hell and is a trick of Satan. If Satan can get people to hate, they will never unite in love towards themselves or towards Messiah even. But I promised you a correct way to hate. So let's look at that now. I think we can all agree that if we were to follow the instructions of Adonai and look in the scriptures for examples of what we want to find, look for examples of the Lord hating, then we'll find it. If we look hard and long enough, we can find anything in Scripture, in fact, even if it's not there. So where does it say Adonai hates, or Adonai hates people, or a person, even? Let's take a look at Luke 14, starting in verse 25. Now great crowds were traveling with Yeshua, and he turned to them, and I'm sorry, my phone keeps going off. I know it's down low, but I'm going to turn it down even lower. That is annoying. I'm sorry. I should learn how to do a do not disturb. I should. All right, Luke 14:25, starting there. Now great crowds were traveling with Yeshua, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, and yes, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. Now that's a whole lot of hate instructed by Yeshua. Hate your parents, hate your siblings, and while you're at it, hate yourself. Wow. Taken out of context of the rest of the teachings in Scripture, it seems that we're supposed to be very bitter people. So does Adonai really want us to hate everyone that we know, including ourselves? Let's start putting it into context, though. We know that what we're told in the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long upon the land which Adonai your God is giving you. We seem to have a bit of a contradiction here, a bit of a conflict of words going on. So let's take another look in Ephesians. We see this, Ephesians 6:2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is quoting Ephesians there. We seem to have two different truths going on at once, don't we? We know that all Scripture must agree with itself, so we have to reevaluate what we're reading. And that's not to decide if we accept this one or that one, but to decide how to interpret it so that they all agree. In this case, we have to say that since God is love, Yeshua is saying of hate your father and your mother must be a use of hyperbole, an exaggerated speech to gain the attention of the listeners. He doesn't want us to hate our parents, but he does want a right priority in our lives in which he must come above all things. That is not to say that we hate everything else, but that we place them in the correct place in our lives. So Yeshua was not saying that he hated one over the other, but that he's placed over all else in our lives. He's above everything. Any other way of reading this could cause Scripture to come into conflict with each other, and we know that just can't be. Then the question is still, what is the correct way to hate according to Scripture? Let's look at Proverbs 8, Proverbs 8:13. To fear Adonai is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance and evil behavior and a perverse mouth. Now we see Adonai hate. He hates those that are evil, are prideful and arrogant, right? No, that's not what it says. It says he hates the action of being evil, the action of pride, the action of arrogance, not the people who are evil, prideful, or arrogant. Adonai was separating the people from the sin. We know that saying, hate the sin but love the sinner. This is the example of this in the words of Adonai through the writer of Proverbs, which at that time, for that one, is King Solomon. When we read how Adonai expects us and instructs us to act, it's never to hate the sinner. We read in Psalm 97 this, Psalm 97:9. For you, Adonai, are Elyon above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love Adonai hate evil. He watches over the souls of his godly ones. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. You who love Adonai, hate evil. It doesn't say hate the one who does evil, but the actions of evil or the thoughts that are evil. These things are from the flesh that is influenced by Satan, the prince of the air. The hatred of people will never be from Adonai. Here's another verse that people misread to think that they're to hate those who are not aligned with Adonai. Psalm 26:3, starting in verse 3 of 26. For your love is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with men of falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I detest the company of evildoers. I do not sit with the wicked. King David, the author of this psalm, says that he hates the company of evildoers or the assembly of them. Now, he doesn't say that he hates them, but that he keeps himself away from sinners while they're sinning. However, we have to know that if they repent, if they stop their sins and they repent of them, Adonai will accept them back. And so should we. Again, it's a fine line that he speaks of, but it distinguishes the sin from the sinner. That distinction is made even more defined when we read from Amos 5. Amos 5, starting in verse 14, seek good, not evil, so that you may live, and so Adonai Elohi Tzvaot may be with you, just as you said. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice at the gate. Maybe Adonai Elohi Tzvaot will extend grace to Joseph's remnant. We as his people are to seek out good and not evil so that we may live with Adonai Elohim Tzvaot, the Lord God of hosts. Through the prophet Amos, Adonai says, the house of Israel, you have become an evil nation. And you're doing wrong. But in his love and mercy, he told them how to turn back to him. He says to hate evil, love to do good. He shows us that he does not hate the one doing evil, but to remove the evil from within yourself in order to turn towards him so that the love of Adonai can return. This is the instruction that is repeated in Romans. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Detest what is evil, holding fast to the good. Be tenderly devoted to one another in brotherly love. Outdo one another in giving honor. Do not be lagging in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Keep serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in distress, persisting in prayer, contributing to the need of the Keshudim, extending hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own eyes. We read that the instructions of Adonai through Amos, the first one, were for the nation, but the instructions written by Shaul are the same instructions, but this time for the individual. love without hypocrisy, or don't say you love at one time and then say or show something different at another time. Adonai loves and does not hate that which he has created. So he does not give instructions on how to hate the person. But he does give us instructions of what to do in order to become aligned with him, which we see in Ezekiel 18. At that time, Israel was not acting in the way that they was aligned with the desires of Adonai. Therefore, Adonai sent them these instructions through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18:30. Therefore, I will judge you, house of Israel, each one according to his ways. It's a declaration of Adonai. Return and turn away from all your transgressions, so they would not be a stumbling block of iniquity for you. Cast off all of your transgressions that you have committed. Make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. It's a declaration of Adonai. So return and live. Adonai takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. In fact, we're told by some of Yeshua's parables how Yeshua feels about the lost sinner. In Luke 15, there are three parables in a row that have the purpose of showing us the heart of Adonai. Now, the first parable was the parable of the lost sheep. The third parable is the prodigal son. And the middle parable is the lost coin. And I want to read that one. Luke 15:8. Or which woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search thoroughly until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin I had lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The coins, of course, represent his people. If we know that he rejoices over the one coin or the one person who's found, rejoices greatly over the one that's found, we should recognize that he mourns profoundly for the one that's lost. With the same measure that he rejoices of the saved soul, I know he mourns with the lost soul. There is no hate there that says, "Well, you were in my hands at one time. You were the one who walked away. Therefore, I hate you. Never mind you." He never says that. For this reason, he rejoices over saved souls. For there is no other way that he can be with them for all eternity other than through the salvation that he provides by the blood of Messiah Yeshua. For those who may be listening and feel that they're too far away from Adonai, listen to what he says to you. Ezekiel 33:10. You, son of man, say to the house of Israel, "You have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we are pining away in them. So how can we live?" Say to them, "As I live," it is a declaration of Adonai, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their ways and live. Return from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?" The word is not just for the house of Israel, but for all that he's created. It was always to be that everyone be grafted into the root of Adonai. Adonai says that it is because of your sins that you're pining away. But that is not what he wants for you. He says that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. If Adonai was to take pleasure in the death of someone, then it would be the wicked, wouldn't it? They've turned their back on him and are doing as just the opposite of what he commanded. But even in that state, he does not want to see anyone die because he knows what will happen to them, what will become of them. And I'm sure that if the world knew what would become, what would come out of death while they died in sin, then they also would not want to die in that sin. But they refuse to hear. They refuse to learn what it is that their Creator wants them to know. He does not hide the fact of what's to come to them. No, he wants them to know fully so they can make a correct decision. This is why Peter wrote in a second letter, in 2 Peter 3:9, this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some consider slowness. Rather, he is being patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance." He not only does not want them to die in sin, but he's holding back the start of eternity for them so that they have the opportunity to come to repentance. For one description of what eternity in hell is like, we see the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man is sent to hell because of his sin. But this is what he says in Luke 16:23. "And from Sheol, as he was in torment, he raised his eyes, and he sees Abraham far off and Lazarus by his side. So he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so he may dip his finger, the tip of his finger, in water and cool my tongue, because I'm suffering torment in this flame.'" And before I go any further, if you think that a fiery hell is only from the Brit Hadashah, only a new covenant idea, look what it says in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, starting in verse 24. "As they leave, they will look on the corpses of the people who rebelled against me. For their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be a horror to all flesh." Many believe that this is the description of hell in the Tanakh. It's the place for sinners that will have no relief from the fire or from the worm that chews on their flesh. Isaiah calls it a horror to all flesh. But this is not his desire for anyone. This is not Adonai's desire. This is why Yeshua was sent, as we're told in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, the one and only Son of God. If Adonai wanted to forget or to hate the sinners of the world, he would not have walked the earth in the form of Yeshua. If Adonai did not want all to be saved, he would not have waited for more to be saved through Yeshua. It is as he says in Leviticus, there is the blood for the atonement of sin. Then so many years later, he did not change his mind about blood. But what he actually does is he says, here, let me make it easier for you. No longer the blood of sacrifices, day after day, morning and evening. Now it's one sacrifice for everyone. Everyone. So, there is not really a proper way to hate. There's not a correct way to hate. There is a correct way to direct your hate. That would be not towards the sinner, but the sin. The feelings of hate that some of us get, that come upon us as feelings, must be overcome by the love that Adonai has for us. And the love that he shows us and that we are to show others. So what's the correct way to hate? It's to hate evil in ourselves. And when we see it in others, to hate the evil, but don't hate the person. Father, we just thank you that you love all. All you've created. That you made a way for all of your people. It's irregardless of how far away they've wandered or ran, but you made a way back. No distance is too far for the blood to reach. It takes but one step towards you for the blood to have its effect. So, Ruach, I just ask that you would soften the hearts of those who don't know you yet, so they would take that first step towards you. Because I know when they take that first step towards you, they'll recognize the many steps he took to get close to them. And Ruach, for us who are believers, when Satan's influence comes upon us, and that feeling of hatred wells up in any part of us over anything you've created, help us to squash it by the Ruach. For hate is not of you. We acknowledge your love. And we acknowledge that you may hate the actions of some, but that you never hate anyone. Help us never to hate anyone. Father, we thank you and praise you for your words. And everyone said, amen and amen.